But we're just going to talk about a simple case, which is probably the one that's most nogeya. And that is Reuven signed a contract to purchase his house from Shimon. Settlement is in 2 months. And Reuven or Shimon find out that they decide they don't want to buy or sell it. He says he doesn't want to buy it because he finds out that he could get a cheaper one somewhere else. The seller doesn't want to sell it because he finds out that the market went up and he could get a higher price now. So the question is, are they allowed to renege on the sale and cancel the contract? I'll keep in a demochusa. I think most contracts allow the aggrieved party to take the other one to court. I mean, there was something signed and committed here. So shaila is there anything like that in halacha? Does halacha, besides maybe there being dina demochusa, does halacha require you to go through with something that you signed upon? Right. Is there, what issues are there? So the first thing we have to do is see what the halachas of kinyon and baikarka are. Right. How is it that a person makes a kinyon? How is it that you make a kinyon in karka? Right. Once it's a kinyon, if there's a kinyon, so then certainly you can change your mind. You'd have to sell it back. Right? You can't. If there's already a transaction, so then you certainly can't change your mind off the halacha. So what does it take to make a kinyon? In other words, when the common way to do it is when you go and you get a residential contract of sale and you sign it, the buyer and the seller signs it, and you give a down payment, is that sufficient to make a kinyon for this property, this house that you are buying? Right, that's the shaila. So we start with the same Mishnah condition that we have in Metatlan, only now we're talking about karka. Nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayis. Nechasim that have achrayis, meaning real property, real estate. Nignim bekesef v'shtar v'chazaka. You can acquire them with one of three kinyanim. Kesef. And that doesn't mean you have to pay the full amount. You can give a shavar pruta. And kinyan kesef works. Just like metatlan, we said, midaraisa, kinyan kesef works for just a shavar pruta. Or shtar. For a kaka, you can write a shtar saying, my field, my house is sold to you. With a chazaka, or the buyer makes a chazaka, he does something to the property which shows that he has ownership. He digs a little bit, he locks the door, he does something that shows he's the owner. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara qualifies both of these first two kinyonim, kesef and shtar. By kesef, the Gemara says, Amar Rav, lo shana el b'mokam shein kos v'nes hashtar. Kinyon kesef only works in communities and locations where they don't normally write a contract after in a real estate transaction. Abimalkim shakosven es hashtar, but in locations, places where they write documents, where they write contracts, lo kana, the person does not acquire the property through just kinyan, through just kesef, because the buyer, Rashi explains, the buyer is nervous. The buyer, he's not ready to give his $30,000 up until he has something to prove that it's really his. Until he's holding on to that contract, that deed. So his intention is that he doesn't really feel comfortable until he has something in writing, because he knows, everyone knows that this is a place where you write, like here, everyone knows that you have a deed, you have something in writing when you buy real estate, and until he has that written, he doesn't really feel comfortable that he really owns it. However, Iparish, if he says, Befeirish, the buyer says, I want the kesef to work alone, Parish, he did it and it works. Gemara brings the mice to the Rav Yidiv Arovin. When he would buy land, he'd say, I want to have the choice. Either my kesef should work or my shtar should work. If the meaning the kesef works, I want to say that I'm giving you the money now and that should be a kinyan, then you can't change your mind anymore. The kinyan was chal already with the kesef. But if I want to have the right to say that if the kinyan shouldn't work until the shtar takes effect, because I want to have that right to get out of the contract until the last minute. Right, so there we see from this mice that if you say that you want the cash alone to make the kinyan, that works. Even though the Takanas Chachamim L'Chorus the Drabanan says that you need to have kinyan Yanira Bishtar also in his place. Which case? Well, it seems, we're going to see, it seems to be Pashit, what he's seeming to say is that he wants the Kesef to work. I have the choice. I want the Kesef to make the Kinyan, but I also want to reserve the right to change my mind until the Shtar takes effect. He's making the Kinyan with a Tanai, with a Shiur. He's giving himself the right to be Chozer until the Shtar comes about. That's the Pashit shot. So that's the reservation in Kesef. Even though Midaraisa, as soon as you give a penny for that land, that house, you own it, but the Chachamim said if it's a place where they write documents, where they write contracts, you don't really own it until you have that contract in your hand, because you, the buyer, don't feel comfortable. You don't, you're not so mitzvah until you have that contract. Now the Gemara, unless you specify and say that I want the money to alone to make the kinyan.
Even in a place where the, you always do
that's
contract.
Right, that's where the Gemara is saying. If it's not a place, then you don't have to specify. It's already a kinyan right away without specification. But even a place where they write contracts, if you specify, so then the kinyan is called right away with the kesef. Now there's a reservation with contracts alone also. Amar Shmuel, the Gemara says, Shmuel says, when do we say shtar works? Lo shtana el b'shtar matana. Shtar only works for acquiring land if the person is giving it away. Avol b'mecher. But if I'm selling my house to someone, lo kona ashiyisen lo donim. It is not a good kinyan until I got the money. Because over here, the seller doesn't feel comfortable relinquishing his land through the contract alone until he knows it's an expensive thing, until he has the money. So the kinyan is in chal until I have the cash. The Gemara asks Akasha, and the Gemara answers it by saying that there's an exception to this rule also, and that rule is if I'm selling the land because it's a bad land, it's a remarkable today, the neighbor also, I'm selling it because it's bad quality, and I'm just glad to get rid of it. The first one that, you know, gives me a contract, I'll sell it to. So there, even though I don't have the money, there I am, samechdas, to sell it right away. That's exception the Gemara says also. And before we go on, there's just an interesting shayla from the Erech Shai and the Tshuva Shai for this halacha, and he says it doesn't have to be that it's just poor quality land. It could be I want to get rid of it for another reason, for an outside reason. And his case was Reuven owed Shimon money, and Reuven died, and his almana was left. So Shimon wanted to get the house for the money that the deceased Reuven owed him. So he went to the courts and he had the right to purchase the house. But everyone was saying, you can't kick an almana out of a house. It's a widow. How are you going to do that? So Shimon had ownership of the house, but he couldn't do anything with it because everyone was saying, you know, what a terrible guy he would be to kick the almana out of the house. So Shimon then went and he sold the house to Levi, and Levi knew the whole story. He wasn't tricking him. And Levi gave him a shtar. So the Erech Shai Paskins and the Tshuvas, then in such a case, that's like Mocher Sodeh Meneiro also. That's like selling a house, a field, because it's bad. It doesn't have to be physically bad, that it doesn't grow anything and I just want to get rid of it. Here it's bad because I have my money tied up in this house and everyone says I'll be a rotten person if I kick the almana out of the house. So by selling it to Levi, I'm willing to, anyone that'll take it off my hands, I'm willing to give it up. So he paskin that would be an example where the shtar alone would make a kinyan, even though I didn't get the cash yet. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that in a normal case, say nowadays, I think we're talking in a place where we do write contracts, kesef won't work alone to sell a house because the buyer is not some of us, he's not secure until he has that contract, until he has something in writing. And the smart points out that thing in writing doesn't have to be a shtar kinyan, even if it's just a shtar rai, even if it's just a proof of purchase. It doesn't have to be, right, a shtar kinyan is, I write, my field is sold to you, my house is sold to you. That's not what we're talking about here. The smart says, if I pay the money for it and I get a contract just saying that this is to inform everyone that Reuven sold his house to Shimon, that would be good enough also. As long as I have some written proof that I have the field, that will be good enough. The difference, though, might be, the poskim say that if it's a shtar rai, a place where I'm just getting a proof of purchase, but it's not an actual contract, so my kesef was what made the kinyan. It's just the kinyan didn't go into effect until I got that proof of purchase. But if what I'm getting is a real contract of sale, it's a kinyan shtar, so then the kesef won't be a kinyan, it won't be a kinyan until you get that shtar. The shtar will make the kinyan at the end. But either way, that cash that you give and the contract that you get, whatever type of contract it is, that is enough to finalize a sale. And the same thing is if you have a contract without money, and here this Ma'ar paskins also that it doesn't mean that you to pay a shavar puta. That means if you're selling a field, selling a house, not giving it away, you don't have smichas das to part with it until you receive all the money. Right? The down payment isn't enough. The sale is not consummated until the seller has received all of his money. Right? That is also a halacha. So in a typical situation, just what we're talking about here, where the seller is only receiving a down payment, so that wouldn't be a kinyan yet, l'chora, because he didn't receive his full purchase. And the achronim say that if he writes a shtar chov at the time, that's good enough. He doesn't have to actually physically have the money, cash, you know, with a suitcase. He could write a shtar chov. He's writing a debt document that he owes that amount. That would be good enough also. Okay, so that's the background. Now, so we see that right now that in our situations, money won't be enough to make the kinyan, a contract won't be enough to make the kinyan. You need both. Now the halacha though is, just like we had in the last couple of weeks, that by metaltalin there's a halacha that midaraisa kesef should work to acquire metaltalin. The chachamim those said we're worried that the buyer will lose his property. There will be a fire before he gets it into his rishus. And the seller will tell him, "Nisr v'chitach avaliyah, your wheat got burnt up in the attic." So the chachamim said that midarabanan, and there's not a kinyan until he actually has it in his physical possession. But we said that the Gemara says b'feirish that if someone pays for a car or a sofa or something, he gives the money, and then either the buyer or the seller renege on that deal, they're chayav misha para. Right, the opposite of the Misha Beirach, they get a Misha Para, whether the Besen says it in front of them directly or they announce it, and it's a bad thing to have a Misha Para. We said it could be that they're possible for Eidos from then on. Right, so how about in this case, is there a Misha Para by Karka in the analogous case by Karka where Midaraisa, my Kesef, should be a Kenyan, but the Chachamim said that the Natsam Echda is in a place where they write a star. Suppose I gave the money, I pay the money, which midaraisa makes a kinyan, and then I change my mind, or the seller changes his mind. Is there a misha para there or not? So, as usual, it's a machlokas haposkim, because they say that over there, kesef is a kinyan daraisa, and it's just a takanas chachamim that prevents it from going through. Over here, they want to say that maybe it's midaraisa. They're talking different svaras. But most poskim, and the Pesachim Tshuva brings, he says, from Rabbi Yeager and the Mishkanos Yankov and the Rabbi Gaon and the Tshuva Shai, and this Tshuva that I just mentioned, the Tshuva Shai also concludes that most poskim hold that there's a Misha Para, even by Karka. So even though we said that when you pay money, the sale is not consummated in places where they write contracts until you get that contract, but there'll still be a Misha Para. There'll be some, it's not a free for all that, okay, I gave my money and I didn't get a contract, I could just change my mind. It'll be wrong to change your mind because it's a Misha Para. And while we're on right and wrong, we learned that by Metaltalin there's a din of Mechusar Amon even before you make a Kinyan. Before there's any Kinyan, if you just agree to do something, we say that it's wrong to change your mind because that's Mechusar Amon, the Gemara says. And Ruch Chacham is not Nochaymen, and we said that if there'd be a Bezin, the Bezin would force the people to go through with that, with what they said, and even until Teishenashu, until they would die, except we don't have a Bezin that could do that, Bismanazah. So certainly, in a case where the person gave the money for the house, for the real estate, and now he's changing his mind for no reason, he'd be a problem, he'd be a Mukhsar money, he's someone lacking in integrity. Except over there, we learned that if he's changing his mind because the price changed, there's something came up, So then we said there was the machlokas of poskim, and there was room to be somech on those that say, if there's a price change and you didn't make any kinyan yet, so then you have the right to be chozer, and without being a mechusaman, being called someone who's lacking integrity. So at this point we would say like this: you're going in to buy this house. You're going to buy a house, and you just shook hands. Everything was all cleared. We said there's nothing else to negotiate. So to change your mind at that point would be wrong, because you'd be a mechusar amana. Except we said that if you tell the guy that, look, I have to talk to my wife, I have to, you know, talk to my lawyer, I want to get it inspected, you say something, so then you have all the right to change your mind. But if everything was finished between the two and there was nothing outstanding, so then you have to go through with it. If not to go through with it, would be a mechusar amana. But that's not going to be so relevant in cases of real estate, because you usually don't come to terms without making a kinyan. The next step will be that you gave money. If you paid for it, so then we're saying, if you paid for it, even though you didn't get the contract yet, there still would be a mishapara for either the buyer or the seller changing their mind. Which, even though I couldn't take him to court to go through with it because he didn't get the contract yet, and we say the kinyan's not foul in a place where they write contracts until he gets the contract, but the fact that you gave money, according to most poskim, I think almost all poskim, would be that there would be a mishapara, and it would be a wrong thing to change your mind based on the halacha of the mishapara. Right, so that's where we're holding until now. And certainly, we should say that in what's prevalent in at least in America, the way we write contracts for houses, we do both at the same time. We give a down payment and we get the resident contract of sale at the same time. Residential contract of sale, we get them both at the same time. So we should say, well, I gave kesef here. It doesn't have to be the whole amount. Kinyan kesef works even with a shavar puta. I gave a contract. I have both things. Except we said that other takana, that we said even when you have a contract, the seller is not satisfied until he gets all his money. So unless along with the down payment came a promissory note or something in the shtar that he's agreeing to pay the other $100,000, so then it might not be a good sale. But it should seem that when you write that contract and you're agreeing to pay the full amount and you receive the contract and you give the down payment, that should be not only a mishapar, not only a mechusar amana, it should be a kinyan gomer, because you have kesef and you have shtar. Right, that's what we should say. However, the different poskim, the contemporary poskim, they're mostly in Eretz Yisrael, they have similar situation in Eretz Yisrael. They write contracts and the settlement, Mesiras Mateach, they hand over the keys a certain amount of months after that. And they all look at this dual thing that they do at the time of agreement in different ways. What exactly is happening? What's exactly happening at, or when are you actually purchasing the house?
But there's some contingencies, especially in America, I'm not sure if they have it in there as well.
Yeah.
There's contingencies in it that you're going to do your inspection.
Yeah, yeah, so we're talking, yeah.
That's
a kinyan al tanai.
Right,
I make a kinyan out, but we're assuming that the tanoim worked out. The house is in good condition. You're backing out because the price changed, and there's no contingency that I have the right to change my mind because I found I could get a better deal somewhere else.
But with money that's been given, that it's being held in an escrow account, it's not being held by the seller usually when doing what they do.
Yeah, that's
held by Connor Piper Flynn or Long and Foster.
That's a good taina. So that.
There's no chance of doing.
Yeah,
he doesn't own it unless both of them sign that.
Yeah, well, the post can say that if it's given to a third party, which is trusted by both of them, so then already, what's the whole problem that you need kesef? That there should be smichas das. So there is smichas das. The money's over there, so I don't have it in my possession. But I know that as soon as whatever has to happen happens, I'll have it. You know, so as long as he no longer has the money, most post can hold that that's good enough. But we'll see, there's going to be other issues. So, first of all, Divrei Mishpat, this collection of different tshuvas, he says, in Eretz Yisrael it's like that. Here I don't think we have it. In Eretz Yisrael they have two different nuschos, how they write the contract. Sometimes they write Reuven is selling the field to Shimon, but sometimes it just says that Reuven is being mechayiv himself to sell to Shimon. Reuven's obligating himself to sell to Shimon. And he says that's the way many contracts are written in the Eretz Yisrael. So if here the contract would say Reuven commits himself to sell to Shimon, so that's not a Kinyan Shtar. Kinyan Shtar says, my sodai mechur lach, my field is sold to you, my house is sold to you, not that I am committing myself to sell to you 2 months from now. Right then, this shtar is just telling me that I'm committing to 2 months from now, but that shtar won't be a good Kenyan. So that's number one. If the contract is written in a way where it just says they are obligated to go through with the sale, so that's not going to be a Kenyan shtar. And if it's a place where they write contracts, it won't work. That won't be kesef with a shtar. That won't be a Kenyan shtar. But if it'll be a shtar raya maybe. But if the contract is written, Reuven sells to Shimon his house, saying that he does it, so then he says it'll be mistaken to say the Kenyan will be chal right away.
And
because
you can write that into settlement 2 months down the road.
That's a good question.
What is settlement?
What is settlement? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we have to talk about. So Divrei Mishpat is saying that he seems to be saying, and this is, he brings from Rav Vosner says the same thing. He says that the Kenyan was with Kesef, and those different stipulations are conditions that the Kesef should be Chal, the Kenyan should be Chal right now. Those are conditions, but the Kenyan is right now. Right? What do you do with the fact that the settlement's not until 60 days from now? So the Pisrei Choshen in his Sefer on Rivis says it's like you make a Kenyan Mei Achshav La'achar Shloshim Yom. The Kenyan won't take place until 60 days from now, but at that time it works retroactively. Right? That's the way he looks at it. That right now we're making a Maisa HaKinyan, Mei Achshav, it should be Chal now, but not to take effect until 60 days, which gives everyone the time to look into it, get the inspection, get the title search, and at the end of those 60 days, then it works retroactively. So that sounds good, except Russian doesn't sound like that.
How was it in the last? The house burned down.
Well, we weren't talking about. I mean, that's what I wanted to say right now. That's not okay from last week, but you're right. That's what this another contemporary of the Mishpat, Taitish Maru, right, they all take this same thing and they look at it in all different ways and they say, how can you say that? What happens if the house burns down? So that you could say, well, the condition is, if the house burns down, so then the contract is void because it says that you have to deliver it through and clean. So that wouldn't be a big issue. But he says better. He says, who's paying the taxes in the meantime? Right? Who's paying the taxes? The seller's paying the taxes. So that seems to indicate that it's the seller's house until settlement, not the buyer's house. So he says it's like a kinyan la'achar shloshim yom. I'm making the maisa kinyan now, and it shouldn't go into effect until 60 days later, like this year, when they sold the chametz. Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, so they sold the chametz on Friday. The kinyan was made Friday morning. That's the minute to do a Friday morning, so that, but it should be chal for those that had stores that they wanted to sell chametz until the very end, that it shouldn't be chal until a minute before Shkia. Right? So you make the maisa kinyan now, and the chalos of the kinyan goes into effect later. So he says what's happening is you're making the maisa kinyan now. You're giving your shtar and you're getting your contract. You're getting the money now. That's the maisa kinyan. That's both things. Except it doesn't go into effect until later, until settlement. Right? That's the way he looks at it. And in that way, the seller has to pay taxes because at settlement is when the transfer is going to take place. Right now, we just made a kinyan. But the kinyan won't be chal, and it works by kesef and shtar. The kinyan could work lachar zman. The Kenyan won't take effect until settlement. But none of them are too satisfying when you look at the contract. And this last sefer, this Emet HaMishpat, which we just got the last year, this is a three-volume set, it's a whole, just one chelik on contracts. So he says, and it makes a lot of sense, he says that, well, I'll just read you what our contracts say. And I think he's talking about the same thing. I don't know if this is at least in Maryland. I don't know, sure if this say it has to be the same nosuch, but number 32 says deed and title. Upon payment of the purchase price, which is a settlement, that's when you have all the finances and everything done. A deed for the property containing covenants shall be executed by the seller and shall convey the property to the buyer. Right? And what happens at settlement is you get a deed from the buyer, and that deed says, this deed, written by the seller, that says that I hereby transfer my property on so-and-so street to the buyer. So the Eman and Mishpat says, even if it's not so the favorite, she says, no kinyan is going on now. This isn't kesef, it's not shtar, because since you have a settlement date when you're actually going to take possession of the house, even though you're making a maisa kinyan, you're doing something as a maisa kinyan, if there's no kinyan's das to make a kinyan, you don't have intention that the kinyan should go into effect right now, it's no kinyan. I could give you all the kesef in the world if we both know that this isn't for a kinyan, we're just doing it now and the kinyan is not going to come until later. This wasn't a kinyan at all. So he wants to say that the fact that the seller doesn't give up the house until settlement, and that's when the buyer moves in, that seems to be like a clear indication that that's when the kinyan takes place, and nothing happened right now. Right? It's hard to say that this is a kinyan and it's going to happen later. It's a kinyan working now with stipulations. It says clearly, so even though in the beginning it says the buyer, the seller does sell to the buyer and the buyer does purchase from the seller, that's just a commitment that they're going to do it. That's a commitment, they're going to do it. It's called equitable title. Right? You're not giving legal rights yet, but you're giving the rights that I can take you to court to go through with it. But when is the actual property conveyed from the seller to the buyer? That's at the time of settlement when they get a shtar kinyan, and that's when the full kesef is given, really. That's when he gets the full kesef, and that's when the buyer gets the real contract, the real shtar raya.
That's like all. When they do that, they've already made settlement?
Right, that means they made settlement, and the house now belongs to the buyer, except the buyer's agreeing to rent it to the seller. In fact, that's what Bruce Yehuda, he's talking to Hilton's River, says, according to his opinion that the Kenyan is really working now. He's talking, there's a Ribbis problem here then. And he works on how they should get out of a Ribbis problem, that he shouldn't be interested. Right now I'm paying for the house and I'm agreeing for a delay in the payment, and in the meantime you have the right to live there, that might be accepting interest because of that problem. But certainly if the settlement is made, it's my house now, I can then rent it to you for as long as we both agree upon. So what we have right now, I think the way our contracts here are written is that it's not doing anything. When you're going to make your contract, there's no kinyan here, because you're saying, even though I might be doing acts of kinyan, I might be doing actions of transaction, I'm doing kinyan kesef, I'm doing kinyan shtar, shtar raya, maybe it's not a real kinyan, maybe it depends on what type of shtar it is, like we said. But we're saying we don't want this to be the kinyan. It says the transfer will be when I get that deed 60 days from now. So based on that, it will be hard to say that if the buyer or the seller changes their mind, so it's hard to say there'll be a mishapara because I gave the kesef, which is midaraisa kinyan. Except there's just a chacham said I have to wait till I get the contract to really own it. But over here, where both the buyer and the seller agree that the kesef is not a kinyan, we're just doing this as a deposit to hold it for me. But I'm just doing it as a deposit, but not that I'm purchasing it with this thing, and except I need to have a contract also to go along with it. We're agreeing that this is just a deposit, like to hold the property for me, and not a kinyan. It will be hard to say that it'll be a mishapara if someone decides to renege on the contract. He gets to keep the deposit, but it's not such a happy solution because the seller says, I lost 2 months of time, and it just cut. It was not worth $1,500, $500 to me, $1,000 to me.
That's exactly what the deposit
is. Okay, well, I think there might be one last thing that we can talk about. And that is, it's not such a simple matter, but that is the Gemara says, if I say I owe you, I'm chayiv to you $200. But the Gemara Bava Basra says, if I tell you, I write to you, make a kinyan that I'm chayiv $200 to you, even though you didn't give me any money, I made a shibud on myself. I now have a responsibility to give you $200. Just as if you lend me $200, I have to pay you $200 back because you have a lien on me, you have a shibud on me. If I on my own say that I am a chayiv myself to give you $200, so then I have a chiyuv to give you that $200. There's another Gemara Bava Basra says that if two partners make a kinyan and say we're going to dissolve our partnership, that's meaningless because it's kinyan devarim. You didn't do anything. You're agreeing to do something. So the post can talk about this case here. They talk about if Reuben and Shimon are mechayiv themselves, they obligate themselves to sell, to buy a house. Is that more like, I'm just saying, was that kinyan devarim, and we're just agreeing to do something? I promise I'm going to watch your house when you leave. I didn't make any kinyan. It's not kinyan devarim. It doesn't mean anything. Or is it like, I'm being machayiv myself, I'm being meshaveh myself, $200 fee, I'm being meshaveh my house to you. So Dayan Weiss in Minchas Yitzchak Chelakei, the last thing on the handout, he says that certainly if the buyer, the seller, renege in the middle before they made the settlement, the sale is null and void. But he says it's nira b'pshitus. If the kinyan was made through a shibud, through liens, through obligations, the Kabbalah's kinyan, they made a kinyan, they're not allowed to change their mind because they have an obligation to go through with what they signed. They were mechayiv themselves to do something. They obligated themselves to do something. They have to do it. It's not, and that's the way it is in civil law. In civil law, the contract does not transfer the property to the buyer, but the contract gives the buyer the right to take the seller to court and force him to give him a deed to transfer the property. Right? That's what the civil law says. So, first of all, the fact that you write something and I don't know if you have to come on to Dina the Melchus Adina when you write this contract, because if you're both signing something and that's what it means and that's what everyone agrees it means, it means that we're both committing ourselves to go through with this, and if we renege on it, we have the right to force each other to go through with it. So that's what everyone knows when you're buying or selling a house, that's what's involved. So I think that would be, without the Nidam al-Khusadino, this is what we're agreeing to do. We're agreeing to sell it, and if we don't, we're agreeing to take each other to court. So even if it's not a kinyan, it's an agreement that forces the other one to go through with it. And it could be that even al-Pi ha-Lacha, this might already be called a hischaivus. Emek HaMishpat says he has a halavichus like that, that if there's a lashon of hischaivus, and it could be when you say the buyer sells to the seller, and the seller sells to the buyer, and the buyer purchases from the seller, it could be that that lushan means there's a hischaivus, there's an obligation to do it. I'm not sure about that. But it could be that that already is a hischaivus, and even alpi halacha, it would go into those halachas of if you're mechayiv yourself to do something, there's a shiva, there's a lien on you to go through with it, even besides that lushan of the shah, that's what it means. So just to review what we had, so we saw tonight that even though midaraisa, just kesef, is good for acquiring real estate, or just star is good for acquiring real estate, practically speaking they both have to come together, because we say the buyer is not satisfied to think that he bought it until he receives a contract that either proves that he had or is actually a contract of sale, and the seller is not samech das until he receives his full money. So until both are done, it's not a complete kinyan. However, even beforehand, if there's been a meeting of the minds, everyone agrees to everything, all the stipulations, everything, and they've agreed upon it, to renege at that time would be called a mechusar amana. If there was a kinyan of kesef, a real kinyan of kesef, to renege then would be a mishapara. We said that our contracts aren't like that. Our contracts, I think, at the time of the getting the contract is not a kinyan, because you're saying clearly that the kinyan is going to take place later, even though we saw different other versions of what's really happening. But I think the way ours are written, it means that it's saying clearly that we're just committing ourselves to make that kinyan 60 days from now, so there's no teeth to the kinyan and there's no mishapara. But the fact that you signed that hischaivus, you signed that commitment, mitadin de machusa, just the fact that you agreed to it, that could have be binding. And even Alpi Halacha, we said there's also room to say that sometimes his chayivus is making obligating yourself also makes you chayiv to go through with it.